The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hi there, and welcome to Comedy Album Book Club, the podcast where we listen to a comedy album and then talk about it. I'm your host, Jason DeLine, an actor and comedy enthusiast, and in addition to the album discussions, I, along with my producer, Matt Ardill, also interview members of the comedy community. Today's interview is part of our Juno series. The Juno Awards are Canada's answer to the Grammys, an annual recognition of musical artists that started in 1970. 2019 is the second year to present awards for Best Comedy Album after a 33-year-old hiatus for the category. Today, I talked to Juno-nominated comedian Pat Thornton about his album, Chicken.
All right, guys, I'm sitting here with Mr. Pat Thornton. I wanted to ask you, is that middle end just silent, or is the correct pronunciation Thornton?
I guess it is Thornton.
Yeah.
But that's so, like, laborious that, like, yeah. Everybody just says Thornton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just sort of roll past it. It's there, but it's like a hint.
You know? It's a hint. it's an extra small N.
Yeah.
Thornton. Yeah. Yeah, I can't. If I'm thinking about it, it's hard for me to say. I stop Thornton.
Thornton. Yeah, yeah. Because it feels like it stops the word.
Yeah.
Thornton. Yeah.
Thornton.
Yeah, people have misspelled it my entire life.
I bet they have. Is it, do you know the origin of it?
It's, it's English, Irish, and it's, it just means from the thorny estate.
Yeah. Lots of thorns. A ton of thorns.
Yeah.
What a stupid joke.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, welcome, Pat Thornton. I'll be saying that now forever. well, as often as I say your name, which is from time to time. So congratulations on your Juno nomination.
Thanks so
much. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
And so you recorded this, if I'm not mistaken, at Comedy Bar, mm-hmm. November of 2016.
That's right.
So why'd you sit on it?
I just didn't listen to it for over a year.
Yeah? Did you feel weird about
sort
it?
I don't get anxiety about performing, but I definitely get anxiety about, like, putting something out in the world.
Right.
You know what I
this
mean?
This is finished. So, this is good.
So it's like my first album, and I waited, like, already too long to do it.
Right.
and then I was like, this has to be great.
Right.
And then I was so convinced that it couldn't be that which is strange because, like, the show went fine. It went good.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It was very good. And then, but I just, in my own head, was just like, ugh, not this. I don't want to sit and listen to my own voice for a long time.
Right.
So I just waited forever to even listen to it. And then all I had to do on it, because I had my upstairs neighbor, like, cut it up for me and stuff. All I had to do was, like, a paper edit, like, just sort of mark the times.
Oh, cool.
Kind of stuff, which when I actually sat down to do it, like over a year later, it took the time it took to listen to the album. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like,
yeah. So was there much to cut out? Like,
no, there wasn't a ton to cut out. There was a joke that I dropped because I missed a line that I really like. Ah. And I was like, this isn't the joke without that line. I'll record it later for something. But that's all I dropped. And then there were just like little pieces in between, like just like ums and sure. stuff that we took out. But yeah, it was just one of these things where I, everything is just like left to you to do.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. And you know, you're the only one that you're accountable to. No one's pushing you
absolutely.
To do it.
Absolutely. Nobody
right?
cares yeah. about my career than me at all. You know, like you imagine these ideas of like having like a manager sure. or something who just like tells you what you're supposed to be doing all the time, or a record company who's like record something and then they let you know when it's coming out.
Yeah.
But that's,
and we need you to have that's done it what happened. 6 weeks from today.
Yeah.
And other things happen in between too. Are you? I'm sure it felt like you kind of already done it once you've done the show.
Right.
And then, okay, well, now there's other stuff.
Yeah, then, you know, like you get busy with a bunch of other stuff and you always have to make money and do whatever. So it's easy to put it on the back burner, particularly because, you know, it's my voice. It's like it's the last thing I want to listen to in the world.
Have you done any of that material again since, or was that sort of the end of that?
I've done some of it a few times when I like get booked to do a long set or whatever, but mostly since I've recorded it, I've just focused on new stuff so that I can, I'm hopefully recording another one in May.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that in 2021.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Well, now you've seen that the paper edit is so fast, you'll probably get on it.
Yeah. I'll probably get on it. That
it's a guaranteed Juno nom.
And getting a Juno nom sort of
you're kicking the butt.
Yeah, boost your confidence and go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe people do want to listen to this stuff.
But maybe. But maybe you waited. We did wait for the right year. Maybe that year there was too many other good albums. And you're like,
maybe. Yeah.
You came in at the right time.
Yeah. If it had come out right away, then the comedy category wouldn't have even been back at the Juno.
That's yet. True. Yeah. It was new last year, wasn't it?
Last year was the first year. Yeah. So there have only been like 5 winners of the comedy Juno.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like Air Force and like Rich Little.
Right. There's a weird big gap.
Yeah.
Then possibly Pat Thornton.
Yeah, then Ivan Decker won last year, and then and then somebody, one of us. But the category's hot this year. No stinkers.
Yeah, so no, we'll for sure. It's exciting. Yeah. Do you keep up on local comedians, or do you have time to listen to other people's stuff? Or
I'm committing to listen to everybody's album that's nominated.
Cool.
Because I
pressure on you to do so.
Yeah, if you on the off chance that I get that I win, I want to be able to say they're all great. Yeah. I'd actually listen to them.
It'd be neat if you did one joke from each of their albums to I wonder how they'd react. That'd be such a weird thing.
That'd be funny if I sort of gave them notes during my speech. It was like,
that would be great.
Hey Dave, what was that riff on track 4? Did we need that? You know?
Might be kind of expected though, like the comedy category, it's got to be funny.
Yeah.
And if a comedian can't take a joke, well, actually a lot of comedians notoriously can't take a joke.
That's true.
Cool. So but it was a good night. You felt good, you felt supported. I imagine it was a packed house with your friends. It must have been amazing.
It all felt good. We recorded it twice, at like 7 and 9, and then but there was so much like, there's a weird buzz on the 7 o'clock one, and it was like some like Korean radio station coming in on it or something. But just in like a couple spots, there's like just an interference where someone talking absolutely not English, and you're like, "Whoa, what is this?" So
it's the whole 9 o'clock show.
So my album was the 9 o'clock show.
Wow,
which is good. I was probably gonna just use stuff from the 9 o'clock anyway. It was just a hotter show, but. But I had no choice.
Was there anything in that first show that you would have liked it? Like a nice moment or crowd interaction or anything? Or
hard to tell. I didn't give it a real listen.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it seemed pretty useless.
Yeah. That is nice to be able to use one, though. I know that there are various albums out there and they edit it in different ways. And then sometimes you'll hear like halfway through, this crazy horse laughed person is just now in the second half. And you're like, what's going on?
It's nice
to have a cohesive kind of thing. And it feels like one moment.
Yeah, you can hear the same laughs throughout and stuff.
Yeah. That's super cool. Did you guys, do you know if you like mic'd the crowd as opposed to just having your mic pick that stuff up?
They SiriusXM recorded it for me.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I think that
they brought a bunch of stuff in.
Some like mics in the house because they
sounds great.
I mean, sounds nice.
Yeah, the whole thing sounds amazing, and that's a nice thing about having, you know, someone like Sirius to help you out with it, right? It doesn't sound like you did it in your garage or something like that. Yeah, super. Do you remember when your first introduction to comedy was? Either an album or like something you watched on TV, or why you got into this?
I would say that I started watching Saturday Night Live pretty religiously from like age 10.
Age 10, yeah, that's pretty young.
When, Dana Carvey was the star.
Right. Right.
And like, he could do no wrong for me. And now I think he's so cheesy. You know what I mean? Like, now I think, but at the time, he was a superstar. Like, he was just out in the front of the cast and could do anything he wanted. And it was crazy. It's crazy how much comedy changes like that for people. You know what I mean? Like, he's. Like, I watch that stuff now, and I'm like, okay, I love this? Like, I loved it. Like, almost, I recorded it and watched it over and over again.
Yeah, and it was all, like, it's was all based so around, like, stupid TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yeah.
You have, like, a big super, like, a title and a song. Like, why does this have to be a show?
I remember the, when he played this, like, singer who did a song called Choppin' Broccoli.
Oh yeah, classic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a huge one for me.
It's such a weird moment.
Choppin' Broccoli.
And he did that again. He did that again on the Dana Carvey show. And I think he did it on an album. And he did it on the most recent, was it the 40-year anniversary thing? Yeah. Yeah, and like when I saw it at the 40-year anniversary, I was like, I remember this. And then I thought, so many people watching this don't know what this is. And it's just this weird, it's such a weird thing. It's not something that belongs in Saturday Night Live as a rule. Like to just cut to a guy playing a piano. I mean, he did gutsy stuff and he was always committed.
Well, but he was very good at the gig. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he was very, very animated and very brave.
Totally.
It was great. But comedy's just changed a lot since then.
Yeah.
And it's weird to look back on it. I think that Mr. Show is the number one influence in my life.
Oh, wow.
I think,
okay,
because
cool.
It was this thing that when it came out, you started to sort of follow all of the like LA comics that were involved in that show.
Right.
Like, and that's the first time I sort of realized that these people do everything. You know what I mean? They're doing sketch here. They're doing stand up. They're doing everything. And it was just sort of this new like breed. And there was just so like, silly and
but they felt hungry to perform, didn't they? Like they were always just out there. They weren't like a typical sardonic Friday and Saturday did a set, it sucked. Like they were living and breathing comedy all the time.
And I think that
new kinds of comedy.
It was great, and I feel like that's what Comedy Bros done now has sort of built that kind of breed of sort of like triple threats, like people that try everything,
right?
You know, and it's
do you have any favorite comedy albums or albums that really influenced you?
Yeah. I have
we can take a break if you want to look something up.
I want to look one thing up. There's a Paul F. Tompkins. Mm-hmm. But another album that I really, really love and I've listened to a number of times is called Nine Sweaters. It's by Andy Daly.
Okay. I don't know.
And it's fantastic. It's just him playing like nine different characters.
Oh, cool. Doing stand-up or in different situations?
Not like
telling
like
stories,
monologue type pieces.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. But they're so funny.
Have you done any of that character monologuing?
I did this one bit that I've some of that. I did this one bit that I really like, which is okay. There's this legend that when Tom Hanks was making Saving Private Ryan, he when he got the script, he took a red pen and crossed out like 60% of his lines. And like just thought that the character should be way quieter. So I do this thing where I perform a monologue verbatim from Saving Private Ryan, and then I do it again with the
you leave the pauses
dialogue
in,
that I assume he took out of it.
Oh.
And that's hilarious. And then it's all about him being very kinky.
I was going to say, it's probably wildly inappropriate for the film. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. I really want to look up this Paul F. Tompkins one because I was actually at the, this may be the audio from his special because it's certainly the same material. And I was at the taping of the special.
Oh, wow.
And it was,
did you become a fan of him through Mr. Show or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what it is. Laboring Under Delusions. Fantastic. But all his albums are good. I like Impersonal a lot as well. But yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time listening to albums. My dad really liked Bill Cosby albums when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's listening to those anymore.
No. But that was one of the earliest ones that I don't remember which one it was. But I listened to a couple of Bill Cosby when I was young. It was some of the first stand-up I'd ever been exposed to. It wasn't on TV like it is now. Yeah. And I loved it at the time. It still felt like it was for people older than me. And to me, still does, even if there wasn't the controversies. It's
something
it's
he did all the time that I love whenever anyone does it on an album is tell a joke that's so visual. That's like, phrase like, and it was this big. You know what I mean? Like, but it's good. It's actually like, it sounds like a mistake, but I think it's actually good because it makes people like wish they were there. Like it makes people go, oh, that would, what is that? You know what I mean? Like,
To an extent, I think.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard bits go on too long where I have no idea what they're doing on
it's
stage.
Like a face is the yeah.
But yeah, stuff like that where you can, you're forced to use your imagination a little bit is fun. You're engaged in a different way. But yeah, I think about that sometimes and maybe you can answer this. If you thought about how accessible this stuff was audibly, like you don't strike me as a very physical comedian anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But is that something that enters your head? Like, will this work on,
I think that I was just confident that that you can get the jokes just by hearing them.
Yeah.
Another album that when we were on tour, my friend Tal had a Bernie Mac album that was, and the thing about Bernie Mac is that he was a complicated figure. He's like there's some homophobia, there's some other stuff that's not terrific, but man, what that man just dripped funny. You know what I mean? Just everything, the way he said everything, like,
yeah,
tone of voice, it's crazy.
How do you feel comedy has changed since Humber? Like, for you, have you had to evolve as a stand-up?
I mean, yes and no. I think everybody has to evolve. I think when I was starting out, everybody goes through a period where you're like, where you're just sort of poking at it to see what you can get away with. You know what I mean? Where your stuff is like, dangerous on purpose or whatever. And then
we're trying to subvert everything, like the stupid thing about stand-up comedy is, and like try to turn it on its head or something.
You just go through all these phases before you can like sort of find a voice. I've gone through all of that, but where I landed like a while ago, I'm just not a comic who's worried that the world's getting too PC. I'm just not that comic. I've just never been that comic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, except, like I said, the first couple of years of stand-up when I was just trying everything.
Sure.
But
did you go through a period where you're trying to be edgy? Do you?
Yeah. I mean, real early on, but yeah.
And where does it come from now? Like, it seems like you enjoy the surreal, but also observational stuff.
Yeah, a lot of it's just my life, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I do jokes about my wife and about my dog and whatever. I've settled more into you be more relatable if you're just talking about your life. And also I always try to and it's not every single joke, like that Saving Private Ryan joke's not really tethered to anything, but mostly I try to tell jokes that are directly related to my life, because there's much less of a threat of parallel thinking, you know,
like, sure, yeah,
that if it's about me, then it's actually, then it, at least it's like my own take on my own life, you right. know what I mean, and instead of like saying to make a joke about sandwiches, anybody could have made that joke.
So did you purposely name your dog Chicken just so you could use that as a unique
no, you know, the chicken joke that the album's named after is about the is about a real story where
I know the story. Like, yeah. I don't know if you want to give it away here. You can.
I'll just
all right. Give it away. All right.
Decide whether or not you want to keep it. yeah. But yeah, it's just a real story where I ordered KFC, and then when I opened the door, my dog just ran out past the guy. So I kept yelling, "Chicken! Chicken!"
I love that. Get in here, chicken. You belong to me. The guy's like, yeah, you paid for it. It's coming. Chicken. That's great. But so why did you name your dog Chicken in the first place?
Well, honestly, we got the dog in Hamilton. We were just driving home, and we just kept saying weird words until we settled on one that we could both agree.
It's oddly charming.
It was almost named Computer. It's almost named Tennis. Anyways, Chicken, yeah.
That's great.
But it's weird because a lot of people assume that it's, like, it's not related to anything. Like, it's funny to name an animal a different animal. You know what I mean? But a lot of people thought that it was, like, that I thought my dog was a coward or something.
Oh.
Man, I don't. But,
What kind of dog is he?
Just a pure mutt. Like, paperwork said terrier mix. There's just a black medium-sized dog. It has like three types of hair on it. It was a Hamilton street dog before we got it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. She cool, man.
Tell me about Filth City.
Oh, Filth City was an experience. Filth City is, for anyone that doesn't know, it's a satirical take on the Rob Ford crack scandal, and I played a Rob Ford style character named Tom Hogg, and it was great because you know, as a comedian, it's so very rare that somebody would come to you with a role like that where you get right. to play kind of a villain and
yeah
and do all this crazy stuff. I got to shoot a machine gun. I got to do a lot of stuff. It was like a really fun, interesting experience. Also because there was like dramatic parts to it, and I just hadn't done that, and I just they just sort of pushed me off a cliff with it, you know what I mean? It yeah. was great.
What had you done beforehand? I know you were in Sunnyside, but
yeah, and I
sort of a sketch show here.
Yeah, I've done a few things. I was on a show on CTV called Satisfaction for a season.
Oh yeah.
And I had a show called Hotbox, which was also sketch, but I'd only done really sort of silly comedy stuff before right. that. Anyway, it was an absolute blast, and and then we got a ton of death threats from coordination. That was fun,
right? Does that still happen anymore? Do people discover it? And
we had just one crazy weekend.
Okay.
Doug Ford went on TV on CP24 and said that he was going to run the director down with his car. And then,
and then
he just like worked up all these people who were just tweeting at us and messaging us forever, saying that they were going to protest the screening and all this stuff. Nobody protested, but it was just like I said, one crazy weekend where we were like, "Whoa, what is this?"
Was there any acknowledgement that does the movie ever like sort of say this is based on true events or anything like that, or is it just its own thing? If you know, but
yeah, it's definitely satirical. Like it's definitely. It's sort of like when Law and Order sort of rips something from the headlines, but then right. the writers go and write their own story, you know what right. I mean? And that's what happened. This isn't these aren't the things that happened. They're a bunch of other stuff. It's just sort of a starting point that people recognize.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And has it led to anything else for you? Is it, or do you feel like it's, kindled an interest in more dramatic stuff, or do you want to pursue
no.
that? Or,
no. No, I mean, I'd like to do a lot more of everything, but no, and there's a you can in Canada, it's easy to not make any kind of impression at all,
right?
You no, know, like
it's true. It's like true. We had, there's no like, momentum here.
That was like I said, it was the craziest time when so the movie played at the Canadian Film Festival, and it was the same week as the 1 year anniversary of Rob Ford's death.
Oh wow!
Which wasn't planned by anybody. Sure. That's just when that festival is, and they right. made this movie for it, right? So then that made the
unfortunate coincidence.
And I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. It was just a really unfortunate timing.
Yeah.
So because of all of that, the press exploded that week, right? We were doing interviews with everybody. We were and it's so strange because in Canada it's so hard to get anyone to cover something like a film or whatever. But we got all our press like too early. Like the movie wasn't coming out anywhere. It wasn't doing anything. It was just having one screening at a festival, right?
It was a buzz no one could act on.
Yeah. And then people couldn't buy tickets to it or whatever. Right. It was one screening that was sold out to a cast and crew. You know what I mean? Like, like it was just... so there was, like, no momentum to gain from it. But it was just a crazy time. And then it there was an article about me on the front page of the Toronto Star. And there was a minute where I was like, oh, is this going to lead to a ton of acting gigs? No.
Yeah.
No.
You go back to auditioning and
Canada's
creating. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, you just got to keep working.
Have you thought about going down south?
I have spent a lot of time in LA, and I've just spent all my money there and not made any. So there's a good chance I'll try that again, but
it's tricky.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And you kind of have to go all in if you really want to commit to it, right? Like you got to get either the green card or the permit and be there, right? For the opportunities and it's tough.
Yeah, I have like a manager there and it's just been useless because anytime I talk to him, he's like, "You should be here."
Right.
Like, okay, well, nice to talk to you.
Do you tour through the States? Do you perform there?
No.
No.
No, I don't. I don't really tour. I worked for Yuck X for 3 years and then I was done.
Yeah, that's its own animal, isn't it?
Yeah. And so sort of like I'm playing a club in Hamilton coming up, but it's very rare that I play a club even. I do most of my stuff around Toronto. I play Comedy Bar a lot.
Cool. Corporate stuff?
No, not really. I don't I sort of make my money from we're piecing it together from all over the place, writing and acting and other stuff. But I'm not the working road dog comedian.
I've never
been attracted to corporate work. Though the people I know who do corporate stuff have like cottages and stuff. You know what I mean?
Like Jessica Holmes or someone like that. Like,
she's doing great. Just like it's. Like I just never felt like that was for me. I just sort of do stand up because I want to, and then and now that I've put out one album, I'm like, this is what it is.
It's
just create material and put out albums.
It's great we have the technology, like to have Sirius now, actually paying comedians for their albums.
Sirius
is pretty awesome,
a really wonderful thing for us. Like so many comedians make more money from Sirius than they do from comedy, from like live comedy.
Right.
At all,
you know
what I mean? And it's great. It didn't exist that until like 7 years ago or something.
And it's just key. It's a great cycle because audiences want it. It's a great thing to listen to in the car. It's, Awesome. Yeah. What do you got coming up?
I don't know.
We cut this out if there's no.
Yeah, I don't know when this airs. I'm doing something at Sketch Festival. I'm doing I'm doing a show at the Junos.
So what's that like? Is this a surreal experience to be part of the Juno?
This is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
The so with the sound exchange stuff, like the serious stuff, I was just, not only did I wait forever to put my album out, I also waited forever to fill out the paperwork so I could get paid for my album. So like that money is like about to start coming in.
Oh wow.
But so there's nothing more underwhelming than like putting out an album, because you just sort of gently push it out into the world, and yeah, nobody buys albums anymore. Everybody right. streams them. So that album's made like $100 in sales or something.
Right.
So so like I like did this thing, just sweated about it for a year. And he put it out, and then I was like, "Oh, well, that's nice. I got $100." And then, and then a year later, I'm nominated for a Juno. It's insane. I mean, like I, you have to like apply, to the Junos.
Sure.
So I did that, but you never think a Juno. That's insane.
Yeah.
like
it's probably the biggest comedy award you can get in Canada.
Well, the thing about the Junos, for me, is that for everything that I've done in my life, the Junos is the first award I've been up for where people know what it is.
Right.
People, like a Canadian Comedy Award, you have to like explain it.
Right.
And be like, no, that to us, that's a deal, man. That's yeah, a yeah. big deal. Or yeah. Even like when the Geminis became the Canadian Screen Awards,
yeah,
most of Canada has no idea what the Canadian Screen Awards is, no. even though it seems pretty self-evident.
Yeah, yes. It's all in the well-chosen three words.
Yeah, yeah. But most people are like, what? Okay, great. You know, like, but Juno, people are like, what? Whoa.
Yeah.
I've known about a Junos my whole life, you know?
Right.
And Canada respects its musicians.
That's true.
In a way that it doesn't, because of CanCon or whatever, they're just mixed in with everything else, right?
Yeah.
So you like you just and obviously like with television, it's like a budget thing, you know, like America just spends so much more money on TV shows, they just look better and they're
sure.
whatever. But
they can albums, afford the losses in a way we can't.
Yeah, albums. It's just such a more even playing field. So we've always liked our Canadian bands. We've always respected the Junos and stuff. So just being attached to that is insane.
Very cool. Well, I look forward to your music career. You, Jan Arden has a better chance of being in a sitcom than you, because she's the way we promote our.
She's got one. Yeah.
That joke didn't come out right. It just sounded mean. You know what I was trying to say. Anyway, thanks for sitting with us, Pat. This is a treat. You know, normally what our show is we listen to an album and then we talk about it with a panel. So maybe in the future we'll talk about Paul F. Tompkins or something if you're into that. Yeah. But in the meantime, good luck at the Junos.
Thank you.
And if anyone wants to follow you, you tell jokes on Twitter at
Pat Thornton. Remember that N.
That middle N. Key. All right.
My thanks to Pat Thornton. Make sure you subscribe to Comedy Album Book Club to listen to the other interviews and episodes. And our next album episode will feature our guests Grace Smith and Ryan Hughes. We'll be discussing Simply the Beth by Beth Stilling. Until then, I'm Jason DeLine. Thanks for listening to Comedy Album Book Club.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.